couple more Tiger wins, we may hear from Gibby. Another win yesterday for the Tigers, 3 of 4 out of the break, 12-5 in July. Is there a case to keep Jack Flaherty as they start to win more? We'll talk about that at 7:35. I wouldn't rule out a Gibby call if they win a couple more.
I'd be okay with that.
Commit to the bid. If they get above 500, Kirk Gibson, come on, join us. Tell us we're too negative. Be positive.
Be awesome.
Listen, when you win, you get to have a little fun, and we're going to have some fun with the Tigers throughout the show today. In addition to talking Michigan football, and well, last year you couldn't talk Michigan football. Not that Connor Stallions guy's name coming up. Johnny won't go away. He's going to be in a documentary. I guess you call it a documentary. Netflix is doing a series, their Untold series, and on August 27th, Connor Stallions will share his side of the story. John, is this something worth watching?
Sure, it's going to be worth watching. Everyone's going to want to watch it. But the question is, how forthcoming will he be?
I know.
And because you think about all of the different things that were, and just the sign stealing itself, how much is he going to say, how much influence he felt he had on, whether on game day or preparation for games and game planning. But then it's here's where I want to hear a lot of it is this whole Michigan manifesto. Like in 15 years, he's taking over the Michigan football program. Is he going to be the head coach? Is he going to be the general manager? Because that's a new position here at Michigan. And what does it mean when he has this, Michigan manifesto of taking over Michigan football and making it the gold standard for all of college football? I don't even know what that means or looks like.
So some of the issue here is, if this is a documentary, this is a trend in documentaries where it all depends on who's telling the story. And we've seen it with, I think, when the Pacers documentary came out with the Pistons and the Malice, it was told from the perspective of Pacer players.
Yeah.
So you got a heavy slant. When the Jordan Last Dance doc came out, heavy slant towards legacy and Jordan and all the greatness and very little on the bad. Will we actually get a ton from Connor Stallions? Or will it just be spin? Because we know he was willing to fall on the sword last year. Will he? How much will he divulge?
Yeah, and how much, since Jim Harbaugh is not here anymore, how much is he willing to talk about Coach Harbaugh or some of the players that are no longer here? Because there was more going on. I mean, remember the whole vacuum cleaner business,
like,
and
Corum thing.
The LLC that
right.
was of the same name that Blake had. So
will they press him? Is my point. How detailed will this be?
Right.
Will they try to get some juicy stuff, or is this going to be him covering himself in the university and trying to be the good soldier? I mean, to be clear, we don't know how much dirt exists. I don't know how much we're going to get from this is my concern. I'm going to watch it out of curiosity.
I'm out of curiosity. I want to know what he has to say as well, and how forthcoming he's going to be in the details, and how much. Here's the big question. We all want to know, was this him operating
alone,
or was this at the direction of somebody higher up in the program, Jim Harbaugh or one of the assistant coaches? Like, that's where we want to know the actual truth. And if he just kind of, beats around the bush and doesn't really say, then you're gonna watch and you're gonna be like, ah, whatever. But here's the other thing. Okay, Netflix is putting this on because it's a monster story. Mm-hmm. It was a huge influence. Or at least there's people that believe it was a huge influence in Michigan, not just this past season and winning a national championship, but in the resurgence of Michigan and the three Big Ten titles. What was the difference after COVID? Then they come out in 21, and was it just, hey, Aiden Hutchinson was a great leader. Josh Ross was a great leader. You had great play on the field, or was there something that gave them an edge? That's what everybody wants to know.
Well, the answer is a little of both. And I know conveniently everybody runs to their corner. You put 13 guys in the NFL, you had some talent. I mean, clearly Michigan was talented enough to bludgeon Alabama in that Rose Bowl game, right? To beat Ohio State not once, not twice, but three straight years. Clearly they were talented enough to do it. I also think when you have extra intel and you may know what play's coming, it's why play action works. It's why disguising defenses work. Deception and the lack thereof is the cat and mouse game of football. It's clearly an advantage for Michigan if they illegally obtain the other team's schemes, calls, plays. But to get to the heart of it, was it just Stallions going rogue as we were led to believe? Does he own that? Does he divulge? And I selfishly want to know, Was he on the sideline so, in East Lansing?
The question's got to be, hey, were you directed by Jim Harbaugh to do this?
Yes.
And, you know, if you were, if you weren't, how much of this information did you directly hand to Jim Harbaugh? Right. You uploaded this to a server. Did, you know, is this something that Jim Harbaugh would access or Jesse Minter would access? Because we see the pictures, the still photos of him on the sidelines standing next to Jesse Minter during the game. How much of that do you believe had an influence on Michigan winning football games? And then it's, was that you on the sidelines in Mount Pleasant?
Well, in East Lansing, but yes.
Yeah, but I mean, for Central Michigan.
Yeah.
And how did you gain access to the field? Was this something that was provided to you by the Central Michigan program?
Well, and I want to know. I mean, I know a little CMU. I want to know because I want to know if my program's aiding and abetting other programs or if we're cheating and breaking the rules. I'm not going to turn a blind eye on that. I'm going to call out my team. But it's been radio silence. Yeah. No updates on that investigation from Mount Pleasant. No idea. Does he say, that was me?
Yeah.
Does he just flat out say that in this?
Well,
because he doesn't, I mean, he's not.
If he's going to be asked the question, he's got to say yes or no, right? I mean, but
yes.
here's the thing. So I want to know that in this documentary, are they going to ask those questions?
Right.
You know, I mean, because I do want to know, did Jim Harbaugh direct you to do this?
Yes.
Did, you know,
or even,
how did you gain access to the sideline, you know, in East Lansing for Central Michigan? Was that you on the sideline?
Well, and beyond that, okay, so this scheme where he obtained all this stuff, right, allegedly he'd show up and he'd, how did he pull this off? How did he bankroll this? Where did the money come from? Did someone give you this money? Was that person affiliated directly or indirectly with Michigan? Like, we have so many questions about Connor Stallions that, yes, the intrigue is worth hitting play. My reservation is I think he's going to want to keep his story straight, and he's going to be buttoned up, which is going to kill the entertainment value. I think there's always spin when they do these pieces now. We don't get true, unvarnished both sides to these documentaries.
Right.
It's always through the one lens, the one narrative that the person's trying to push. And I have a hard time believing he's going to come out with a lot of dirt and juice to bury Michigan the week the season begins. This comes out on August 27th. As Michigan is set to hit the field for the first time since winning their national title, Connor Stallions stabs a knife in there. I don't think that's going to come out.
Well, and then everybody's already in their corners, right? Everybody has already taken a side. And is there going to be anything that sways somebody from one side to another where you look and you say, okay, well, this is, you know, we believe, honestly, this is what he had to say? Because you look at, and you always look at the credits. We did win the Malice at the Palace.
Yep.
Who was financing this? Who is the one that actually is
directed by Jermaine O'Neal? Like, okay, like, all right. So, I see how this is going to go.
That's going to be the question, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to do all those things, look and say, well, he's saying this because he was directed by this individual in the credits, or he was paid by this individual to put this out, and it's just more propaganda.
248-539-9797. Do you have an interest in watching this? Some ticket texts. We'll get to those. We've got Heather's News. We've got the two Grand Slam. And yes, the case to keep Jack Flaherty. Can you make such a case? We'll do it at 735. It's 97.1.
Hey, we all are very aware that the weather's been beautiful. Summer's here. And maybe you wished when you put the bathing suit on or you hit the boat, you hit the beach, you're doing something that summer brings on, you wish you weighed just a little bit less. There's still plenty of time. If you're looking to lose 10 pounds, 100 pounds, or anywhere in between, you got to go to IdealU.us right now. Don't wait. It's IdealU.us. Go there today to book your free consultation and find out how you could be 15, 20, or even 30 pounds lighter in just 30 days. That's IdealU.us. IdealU is a Michigan-based weight loss company, and they've helped thousands of people just like you and me lose weight. In fact, and here we all love stats in the sports world, 9 out of 10. Over 90% of IdealU customers lose at least 20 pounds in just 40 days, so the success rate is there. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days. It was very encouraging. I like to see results. I lost 60 pounds overall, and I've been able to keep that weight off with IdealU. If you want to weigh less, go to IdealU.us. Sign up now, and you're going to get a $200 Visa gift card. Still plenty of time this summer to make that happen. Lose weight and get a $200 Visa gift card. Lose 15, 20, or even 30 pounds in just 30 days. That's IdealU.us. I did it. You can as well. Again, go to IdealU.us today.
Let's get to Heather with the news. Heather, what's up?
Well, guys, on Monday, family, friends, and community members came together to honor the life of Melvindale Police Officer Mohammed Saeed. Community members gathered outside of the Melvindale Police Department, basically just to remember his life and support his family. He's being remembered as an active community member. He was born and raised right there in Melvindale. It sounds like he was a dedicated employee, a son, a brother. He was 23 years old. And the vigil came just hours after the manhunt for his alleged killer finally came to an end. There was a tip that led to Michael Lopez's location. He was found on the porch of a vacant building in vacant home in southwest Detroit. He was taken into custody without incident.
So many different organizations or police departments were able to work together to make this a possibility. And I guarantee you, they all volunteered for the service.
Yes.
They wanted this guy, and they wanted him bad.
Without a doubt. Some upgrades are coming to DTW's McNamara Terminal. So there's going to be a variety of new shops, restaurants, and gaming lounges. They're all coming to Detroit Metro Airport as part of the McNamara Terminal concession program transition. So overall, there's going to be 12 new retail shops. Some include Detroit versus Everybody store, Motown Greatest Hits Travel Shop. There's an Eastside Golf coming and a whole lot more. And then there's going to be 6 new restaurants and 2 new video game lounges. They say the restaurants are set to open next year, and then other shops will kind of begin operations over the next several years. So there you have it.
I was going to say, we already have one of the best airports to be stuck at, right? That was the report last week, and it's getting even better.
It sure is. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee is suing Logan Paul's energy drink company over copyright violation claims. So in this lawsuit that was filed on Friday, the Olympic Committee alleges that Paul's drink, Prime, has been using trademarked symbols and phrases as part of this recent promotion that features NBA star and 2024 USA men's basketball team member Kevin Durant. So the lawsuit basically says that their Prime's marketing campaign, it describes it as willful, deliberate, and in bad faith because it uses these trademarked phrases and symbols that are associated with the upcoming Olympic Games in Paris. There are words like Olympic, Olympian, Team USA, going for gold, phrases like that. Apparently, Prime has been repeatedly using these phrases and terminology in packaging, also in online advertising, social media, and things like that. Apparently, the Olympic Committee requested, you know, hey, could you please take those down? Gave a warning, and that kind of went unheard. So now the lawsuit is in action. There's a grizzly bear in Montana that's dead, and a man who is alive to tell the story. Thankfully, he's alive. There was a 72-year-old man. He was out on his own. He was picking berries on Flathead National Forest lands when an adult female grizzly charged at him and attacked. This man shot and killed the bear in response, but he received some pretty significant injuries as well. He had to be hospitalized. Officials determined that the attack was a surprise defensive encounter. They were looking around the area to see if any of her cubs were present. They didn't say if they found any or not, but that's what they're guessing, is that, you know, this guy wasn't bothering the bear. The bear probably would have just moseyed on away, but was probably just protecting her babies.
That's a badass 72-year-old.
That's 72 and you survive a bear attack.
Yeah. I know.
Yikes.
Hey, you're in bear country. You don't go out unarmed.
No.
If you do ever come across a bear, you want to make a whole bunch of noise. You want to carry bear spray. You don't want to run. You actually want to back away very slowly. And they say, hey, if you're going to go out in the wilderness like this, the backcountry, you should be hiking in some bigger groups. Don't go out in the wilderness alone. And if you do, obviously make sure you're prepared for a bear encounter.
Well, the number one thing, you mentioned going out in groups, for your survival, your individual survival, is to just make sure that you're not the slowest one in your group. Just take somebody else out that is slower than you, even if you don't like them, especially probably if you don't like them.
And if you're the slowest, you better trip somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only thing you can do at that point.
Hey, this is kind of for you, John. If you've got some teens at home, Alexa has a new feature to help you communicate with them. Amazon just announced a new feature where Alexa can actually teach you how to talk like a Gen Zer.
Oh, there you go.
So all you have to do is say, Alexa, talk Gen Z to me. And she's going to spit out some like slang and all the definitions so you know what your kids are talking about.
Yeah, that sounds very sus to me.
Yeah. Oh, ick, right?
No. That's Skibbity Alpha Riz. That's what that sounds like. That sounds like a good time.
So right now they've added 20 terms just to start. A lot of them you've probably heard, but for some people they might not have heard these words. So words you just mentioned, right? Ick, T, sus, mid, riz, drip. The math isn't mathing. It's giving, mother, air, all sorts of different things. And she'll kind of tell you what they mean. So that's for all the parents out there with teenagers that they have no clue what is being said in their house.
Yes, please decipher this text message for me. Right. There's no capitals, there's no punctuation, and all the words are abbreviated. Yeah. What the hell does it say?
Does please help.
Finally, Dan Campbell's face is going viral. His face has been turned into, well, his face hasn't been turned into a corn maze. A corn maze has been turned into his face at an Ingham County farm. It's really incredible. It's at Choice Farm Market near Weberville. And it's basically this larger-than-life Campbell-inspired maze, and it looks like him. He's got a grit hat, a lion's mane around his face, and then there's the slogans as well that say One Pride and Go Lions. I've seen it all over. It's pretty incredible. It wasn't supposed to go live yet, but somebody flew a drone over, so now the farm is embracing it. They say the corn maze will open September 28th for their fall festival, so you can go check it out then.
If you build it, they will come.
Yes.
It's awesome.
It really is.
I can't
is.
Imagine what it would take to manicure that.
It's incredible. Let's get to the two Grand Slam.
Well, this is the best part of Tuesdays and Thursdays, the two Grand Slam. Hopefully, we'll give away a lot of money today. 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Each question answered correctly. Contestant gets $25. If they get them all right, they win $2,000. Of course, they do need to use their time wisely. If they're unsure, they can pass. And if there's enough time, we'll get back to that question. I'm excited to play.
Yeah. Our contestant today, Micah in Manchester. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Good. It's great to hear your voice. Are you excited about the opportunity? Have you played the two Grand Slam before?
Never played before. Super nervous about it. I need this money. Got an anniversary coming up in a couple of days.
Oh, congratulations.
Boy. What year?
It'll be year 17. I got to get her some money so she can buy me something.
I like the way you think. There you go.
Take a deep breath. Yeah. You got this.
You got this, Micah. All right. Your time is going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. Here we go. Who did the Tigers play last night?
Cleveland Guardians.
Who is Donald Trump's 2024 vice presidential running mate?
It's like Vance, something like that.
What Michigan county is Tecumseh located in?
Washington.
What jersey number does Penei Sewell wear for the Lions?
59. I don't know.
What is 9 times 8?
Pass.
Who won last year's American League MVP award?
Aaron Judge.
Michigan football defeated this team to win the national championship in January.
Washington Huskies.
Indiana University's main campus is located in this city.
Bloomington.
Who played Batman in the 1989 movie Batman?
Val Kilmer.
This team currently leads the AL East.
Oh, I don't know. Mariners.
What is 9 times 8?
What's that? 9 times 8? 72?
Got it in just in time. That is the correct answer, yes.
Yeah, we're counting that one. Yes. We got 5. Yep.
Hey, that's not bad, Micah.
5? All right, that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good gift your wife can get you.
I said, what could she get you for $125?
Yeah. I was hoping for a new console in that college football game, but guess not.
Well, at least you can pay for the game.
You can buy the game, not the console, but you're making progress either way.
A couple more fishing poles. How about that?
That sounds even better.
Disagree. Yeah. Good stuff, Mike. Good stuff. Two Grand Slam brought to you by Feminine Yule Law. We'll put you on hold. We'll make sure you get hooked up with $125. 5 right answers at 25 apiece. Let's go through it, John.
All right, yeah. The 5 that he got right, Guardians played the Tigers last night. J.D. Vance is the running mate for Donald Trump. He eventually got at the buzzer. 9 times 8 is 72. Washington played Michigan in the national championship game, and Bloomington is the main campus for Indiana University. You want to go through the ones that he got wrong?
Well, I got to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'll be the bad guy. Here we go. The ones he got wrong, like a total moron, right? Let's say Michigan County that Tecumseh is located in.
Lenawee. That's a tough one.
Yes. He said Washtenaw. It's all right. Jersey number. This one gets me.
So close.
58 is what we wanted. He said 59. So it's wrong. AL MVP award. It's one of the two. He said Judge. It's Shohei Ohtani.
If you didn't know, that's a great guess.
Yeah, it's a good guess. And, okay, Batman in the Batman movie, 1989. Michael Keaton, not Val Kilmer. And this one gets me, all right? This team currently leads the American League East. Emphasis on East, as in the teams in the AL East are located
on the East Coast,
not on the West Coast. He said the Seattle Mariners. I'm not trying to pile on. I'm just telling people this is what happens when the clock's ticking
in
your head.
Yeah, and that's,
because
that's
there's
question
no
number
way,
10.
Yeah, there's no way he would get that wrong if you just sat him down and said, take a second.
Yeah, guess a team on the East Coast.
Yankees, Orioles, the answer is the Orioles.
Yes. And we've been talking a lot about the Orioles. They've been in the news because of the possible trade partner for Tarek Skubal.
The thought is, Tigers doing their homework on some AAA guys was last night, potentially Skubal's last start in a Tiger uniform. Of course, the other side of things is you could keep him, maybe keep Flaherty too. Is there a case to keep Jack Flaherty as the Tigers keep winning? We'll get to it next, 97.1.
Dope. That one's me.
You got this, buddy.
I believe in you. Yes, I know. Hey, the summer driving season. We're talking about summer all the time, and the summer driving season is upon us. The combination of increased traffic, big trucks, motorcyclists, and let me know if you've noticed any of this. Construction, it all contributes to the fact that summertime in Michigan has more accidents than any other season of the year. If you've been injured in an accident, injury attorney David Femenino and his team are ready to help you right now. David will never take a fee until he wins your case. And you could speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
You got to get within two or three games, and you have to be committed to extending him. Simple. That's a path where you stay competitive, not just this year, but long term. You can stay in the fight, but you only have a week to do it. And that's exactly what we're staring at. 1 week away from the trade deadline. Does anything change in this week? 248-539-9797. Some of your ticket text. We're going to get into something that John experienced over the weekend. I want to know if parents will admit to this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But getting back to the Tigers in regards to whether it's Flaherty, you heard that right there, Dan Dickerson, Justin Henry Molloy, he is hot right now. How much of that do you believe is sustainable along with Colt Keith? You maybe get Parker Meadows back, Riley Green. Have you been able to generate or develop enough reliable bats?
Yeah,
I'm not even
going to
sit there and talk about, you know, somebody hitting 300 or somebody on pace to hit 30 home runs, which, you know, we're keeping an eye on Riley Green. But how much of it is reliable enough for you to sit there and say, yeah, we're not going to be sellers. We're not going to be buyers.
No.
But we're not going to be sellers at the deadline.
Buying does not make sense for this team. It's selling or holding, and they have 1 week to finalize their decision. Ticket Texter says, Skubal, Flaherty, Mize, Olson, Job. That's a 2025 World Series staff. If you get all five of those guys, you're going to have to hit.
But
on paper, that's doable. The only guy who's a free agent in that group is Flaherty. And you can, stop me, this is a crazy concept. You can pay guys.
Right.
You can offer them financial compensation to play on your baseball team for multiple years. That's what you would do, and it's not a big ask.
And we talk about, you know, extending Flaherty. And if that is, that ticket texture is right, it in regards to, if that is your pitching rotation going into 2025, you could argue that it might be the best in baseball. It's at least top five. And if you have a top five rotation, then you're looking at it going, are the reliable bats?
Yep.
It gets back to that term reliable. Do you have enough reliable bats to then go out and let's not get wild and crazy and say bringing in two or three. Can you bring in one more bat that is not just reliable but dynamic?
I'll get a little greedy. I want two. Texter says,
I'm not going to argue that. I would love two. I'd love three, but at least one.
Right. Texter says, the free agent I'd like to see the Tigers go after is Pete Alonso. I don't think Torque is the answer at first base. I think first base is something they have to address.
Yeah.
We're going to have months down the line to talk Tiger free agency. Texter says, there's still six games back in the wild card, 10 out and six back of the second and third place teams in the division. This is the sobering reality. Like, well, John, as much as I want to build the case, they only made up one game over the you know 4 days that they've played since the All-Star break. If they only make up one or two games between now and Tuesday, they're still out of it.
Well, they are. And you look, okay, well, they haven't made up a lot of ground. Well, they're going to play Minnesota here before the trade deadline, and they'll have a chance to take a leap forward in if they are able to sweep the Twins or at least win the series. And then you look and say, well, at Kansas City, they're another team that's on the cut line right now. They play them after the trade deadline, but they're going to get opportunities throughout the rest of the season against Minnesota, against Kansas City. It's the wild card of it's not just you playing well and winning, you know, 8 of 10 before the All-Star break and coming out and being hot after the All-Star break. It's a matter of what does Boston do? What does Seattle do? What does Tampa do? Because they're all teams that are ahead of you currently, and those teams aren't playing well. But Kansas City, you look at yours, you're 7 of 3 in the last 10. Kansas City is 8 and 2.
Well, and it's a good point. If Kansas City, Boston, these other teams, if they buy and you hold – and you're chasing them? I mean, then it becomes a question, did you do the right thing? Texter says, one hot stretch does not change anything. Sell, sell, sell. Sell Flaherty, sell Scooble, sell everyone, period.
I go back and forth on Scooble. I know we'll get a chance to talk about it, and you guys did yesterday with Stoney in regards to the tweet that John Morosi put out. You know, scouts are down at the Baltimore farm system and looking at all possible, you know, options. That's all good, and they should be doing that one way or the other. But here's the thing. If you're looking at the staff that could be this staff in 2025, even if you don't think you got a shot at it this year, you go to what does it mean to have that pitching rotation next year, along with you didn't block any of the bats.
Right.
Some of them are developing. If you go out there and you add to – you develop some of your own guys. Is Jace Young a part of this next year? I don't think Max Clark is going to be that big of a factor next year, but Jace Young might be. Are you going to go out and add a bat or two to this lineup along with that pitching staff? So there's so much that goes into this, whether it's a you think you got a shot this year. If you don't even believe you have a shot this year, what does it mean next year if you're able to have this same rotation together? That's why I think it's imperative or it's important to have a decision on Flaherty, whether those conversations are happening now and you can extend them before the deadline, or they're, hey, we're going to play this season out. We're going to give you a qualifying offer. We're going to give you one that, you know, that you will want to sign, or at least they will be able to match whatever is else is out there.
I think you're absolutely right. This is the best way to talk deadline. What makes you the best team in 2025? I'm tired of when McGonagall and Clark and no, 2025, what makes you the most competitive team? If it's trading Scooble for a bunch of bats that are going to be on next year's team, a boatload of bats, fine, I could be persuaded. But I'd rather have my ace on the bump. I'd rather have Flaherty number two in the rotation. I'd rather have Jobe up there with them with Olsen. I'd rather have a bunch of flamethrowers. And then I'd like to make amends for their errors this year and put some bats. That's what I want to happen. Now, there's still six back. We expect them to be sellers. The Flaherty thing becomes really interesting. Let's get to Nick in Northfield. Nick, you're on 97.1.
Hi. I'm not a huge follower of the Tigers, but I do have a question because I see it in all sports that teams that make runs or even win championships, it's like all of a sudden a switch goes off. There's teams who fire a coach in the middle of the season and then they go and win a championship. There's teams that start the year 0-8 and then all of a sudden they're unstoppable. The Oilers were like 3-20 to start the year and they made a run to the Stanley Cup Finals. Do the Tigers actually have players on their team where if they're hot, they could actually make a run and be dangerous?
define be dangerous, because let's be careful. You're not talking World Series, are you?
No, I'm not really necessarily saying that, but I notice, like, teams are horrible. They fire a coach, and then they're like the St. Louis Blues.
You're saying anything can spark, yeah, the Gloria run with the Blues a few years back. Can something spark
them? The Pittsburgh Penguins did it. The Pittsburgh Penguins did it against Detroit. They fired their coach, and then they go and win the Stanley. I'm not saying, like, we're going to go win the World Series.
Right, I get what you're saying. You're saying, is there enough here to spark something?
Well, but we're not talking about firing A.J. Hinch.
No.
But you look at it, it does happen more often that there are changes made, you know, in the coaching realm, and then a team goes on to win a championship or at least play for a Stanley Cup. It happens more in hockey. The difference for some of these teams that have made those leaps at the end of the year, Joe Girardi was fired in Philadelphia. They go on to win the World Series. Like, they had an unbelievable roster. They were just simply underperforming. I don't think anybody is going to look at this roster and say, oh, yeah, it's a World Series roster.
No.
We just need, you know, a spark.
No, what I would say, if you're looking for a spark, you're going to need five live arms at this point. They have a three-man rotation. If you trade Flaherty, you have a two-man rotation. You're going to be coasting on fumes to the finish line. If you keep Flaherty, you're committed to paying Flaherty. You could keep this thing afloat. You could stay in the fight. You could build to 2025. That would be my preference. 248-539-9797. All right, John, you're staring at that national title trophy over
there. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Everybody's coming up and saying hi to you. You're like one of the most beloved people in Ann Arbor.
It's my town.
We are going to talk about your experience from the weekend, and there's a question, a call out to parents. Will you be honest with us? It's 97.1. You got to get within two or three games, and you have to be committed to extending him. Simple. That's a path where you stay competitive, not just this year, but long term. You can stay in the fight, but you only have a week to do it. And that's exactly what we're staring at. 1 week away from the trade deadline. Does anything change in this week? 248-539-9797. Some of your ticket texts. We're going to get into something that John experienced over the weekend. I want to know if parents will admit to this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. But getting back to the Tigers in regards to whether it's Flaherty, you heard that right there, Dan Dickerson, Justin Henry Molloy, he is hot right now. How much of that do you believe is sustainable along with Colt Keith? You maybe get Parker Meadows back, Riley Green. Have you been able to generate or develop enough reliable bats?
Yeah,
I'm not even
going to
sit there and talk about, you know, somebody hitting 300 or somebody on pace to hit 30 home runs, which, you know, we're keeping an eye on Riley Green. But how much of it is reliable enough for you to sit there and say, yeah, we're not going to be sellers. We're not going to be buyers.
No.
But we're not going to be sellers at the deadline.
Buying does not make sense for this team. It's selling or holding, and they have 1 week to finalize their decision. Ticket Texter says, Skubal, Flaherty, Mize, Olson, Job. That's a 2025 World Series staff. If you get all five of those guys, you're going to have to hit.
But
on paper, that's doable. The only guy who's a free agent in that group is Flaherty. And you can, stop me, this is a crazy concept. You can pay guys.
Right.
You can offer them financial compensation to play on your baseball team for multiple years. That's what you would do, and it's not a big ask.
And we talk about, you know, extending Flaherty. And if that is, that ticket texture is right, it in regards to, if that is your pitching rotation going into 2025, you could argue that it might be the best in baseball. It's at least top five. And if you have a top five rotation, then you're looking at it going, are the reliable bats?
Yep.
It gets back to that term reliable. Do you have enough reliable bats to then go out? And let's not get wild and crazy and say bringing in two or three. Can you bring in one more bat that is not just reliable but dynamic?
I'll get a little greedy. I want two. Texter says,
I'm not going to argue that. I would love two. I'd love three, but at least one.
Right. Texter says, the free agent I'd like to see the Tigers go after is Pete Alonso. I don't think Torque is the answer at first base. I think first base is something they have to address.
Yeah.
We're going to have months down the line to talk Tiger free agency. Texter says, there's still six games back in the wild card. 10 out and 6 back of the second and third place teams in the division. This is the sobering reality. Like, well, John, as much as I want to build the case, they only made up one game over the you know, 4 days that they've played since the All-Star break. If they only make up one or two games between now and Tuesday, they're still still out of it.
Well, they are. And you look, okay, well, they haven't made up a lot of ground. Well, they're going to play Minnesota here before the trade deadline, and they'll have a chance to take a leap forward in if they are able to sweep the Twins or at least win the series. And then you look and say, well, at Kansas City, they're another team that's on the cut line right now. They play them after the trade deadline, but they're going to get opportunities throughout the rest of the season against Minnesota, against Kansas City. It's the wild card of it's not just you playing well and winning, you know, 8 of 10 before the All-Star break and coming out and being hot after the All-Star break. It's a matter of what does Boston do? What does Seattle do? What does Tampa do? Because they're all teams that are ahead of you currently, and those teams aren't playing well. But Kansas City, you look at yours, you're 7-3 in the last 10. Kansas City is 8-2.
Well, and it's a good point. If Kansas City, Boston, these other teams, if they buy and you hold – and you're chasing them, I mean, then it becomes a question, did you do the right thing? Texter says, one hot stretch does not change anything. Sell, sell, sell. Sell Flaherty, sell Scooble, sell everyone, period.
I go back and forth on Scooble. I know we'll get a chance to talk about it, and you guys did yesterday with Stoney in regards to the tweet that John Morosi put out. You know, scouts are down at the Baltimore farm system and looking at all possible, you know, options. That's all good, and they should be doing that one way or the other. But here's the thing. If you're looking at the staff that could be this staff in 2025, even if you don't think you got a shot at it this year, you go to what does it mean to have that pitching rotation next year, along with you didn't block any of the bats.
Right.
Some of them are developing. If you go out there and you add to – you develop some of your own guys. Is Jace Young a part of this next year? I don't think Max Clark is going to be that big of a factor next year, but Jace Young might be. Are you going to go out and add a bat or two to this lineup along with that pitching staff? So there's so much that goes into this, whether it's a you think you got a shot this year. If you don't even believe you have a shot this year, what does it mean next year if you're able to have this same rotation together? That's why I think it's imperative or it's important to have a decision on Flaherty, whether those conversations are happening now and you can extend them before the deadline, or they're, hey, we're going to play this season out. We're going to give you a qualifying offer. We're going to give you one that, you know, that you will want to sign, or at least they will be able to match whatever is else is out there.
I think you're absolutely right. This is the best way to talk deadline. What makes you the best team in 2025? I'm tired of when McGonagall and Clark and no, 2025, what makes you the most competitive team? If it's trading Scooble for a bunch of bats that are going to be on next year's team, a boatload of bats, fine, I could be persuaded. But I'd rather have my ace on the bump. I'd rather have Flaherty number two in the rotation. I'd rather have Job up there with them with Olsen. I'd rather have a bunch of flamethrowers. And then I'd like to make amends for their errors this year and put some bats. That's what I want to happen. Now, there's still six back. We expect them to be sellers. The Flaherty thing becomes really interesting. Let's get to Nick in Northfield. Nick, you're on 97.1.
Hi. I'm not a huge follower of the Tigers, but I do have a question because I see it in all sports that teams that make runs or even win championships, it's like all of a sudden a switch goes off. There's teams who fire a coach in the middle of the season and then they go and win a championship. There's teams that start the year 0-8 and then all of a sudden they're unstoppable. The Oilers were like 3-20 to start the year and they made a run to the Stanley Cup Finals. Do the Tigers actually have players on their team where if they're hot, they could actually make a run and be dangerous?
Define be dangerous, because let's be careful. You're not talking World Series, are you?
No, I'm not really necessarily saying that, but I notice like teams are horrible. They fire a coach, and then they're like the St. Louis Blues.
You're saying anything can spark, the Gloria run with the Blues a few years back. Can something
and
spark
the Phillies?
The Pittsburgh Penguins did it against Detroit. They fired their coach, and then they go and win the Stanley. I'm not saying like we're going to go win the World Series.
Right, I get what you're saying. You're saying is there enough here to spark something?
Well, but we're not talking about firing A.J. Hinch.
No.
But you look at it, it does happen more often that there are changes made, you know, in the coaching realm, and then a team goes on to win a championship or at least play for a Stanley Cup. It happens more in hockey. The difference for some of these teams that have made those leaps at the end of the year, Joe Girardi was fired in Philadelphia. They go on to win the World Series. Like, they had an unbelievable roster. They were just simply underperforming. I don't think anybody is going to look at this roster and say, "Oh yeah, it's a World Series roster."
No.
We just need, you know, a spark.
No, what I would say, if you're looking for a spark, you're going to need five live arms at this point. They have a three-man rotation. If you trade Flaherty, you have a two-man rotation. You're going to be coasting on fumes to the finish line. If you keep Flaherty, you're committed to paying Flaherty. You could keep this thing afloat. You could stay in the fight. You could build to 2025. That would be my preference. 248-539-9797. All right, John, you're staring at that national title trophy over
it's
there.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Everybody's coming up and saying hi to you. You're like one of the most beloved people in Ann Arbor.
It's my town.
We are going to talk about your experience from the weekend. And there's a question, a call out to parents. Will you be honest with us? It's 97.1.